This is Basketball Central on Sportsnet 650 with Marcus Fitzgerald.
What's up? How you doing? Basketball Central, Marcus Fitzgerald with you on a Wednesday night, the first show of 2020, and a lot to get to as always. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that, as I always do. As always, though, if you missed anything on this show over the course of 2019, we launched this thing back in May of 2019, and we carry it in to a new year here on Sportsnet 650. If you missed anything on Basketball Central at all, any interviews, any takes, good or bad, most of them bad, probably, let's be honest. But if you missed anything at all, sportsnet.ca/650, the Basketball Central page, every show we've ever done, it's all there. Another good show tonight. Joshua Howe of Sportsnet and Raptors Republic is going to join us, talking some Raptors bigger picture stuff. We're taping this on a Wednesday afternoon. They're taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Should be okay, although the Raptors have been really hit by the injury bug as they try to defend their NBA title. A lot of important players out, as we know. Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam's been banged up. Norm Powell has missed some time. Fred VanVleet also not in the lineup as of late. We'll talk to Joshua about some big picture stuff about the Raptors and where they expect to be come, you know, the end of the season, really, what they expect to do at the deadline, and really how the Raptors have sort of bought in. They've fielded lineups where it's just a bunch of G League guys, and Nick Nurse has gotten away and found a way to buy in and play like defending champs. It really is quite something. We talk about the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference. We talk about the Lakers and the Clippers out West. But, I mean, when you talk about impressive showings, Nick Nurse in Toronto this season, coaching-wise, is right up there with anything else in the NBA. He should be right up there for NBA Coach of the Year when you think about candidates towards the end of the season. So we're going to talk to Joshua Howe about that coming up in a little bit. I do want to get started, though, with the number one pick of this June's draft, this last June's draft in 2019. That would be Zion Williamson. We're waiting on Zion to make his NBA debut. He is getting closer, apparently. He's back to practicing. He could certainly use a few more days, at least that's according to the organization and Alvin Gentry. But with Zion Williamson, you have a highly anticipated debut at some point here. It's coming up in a few days, but there are still a lot of questions about what they need to do with Zion and what they have to do with him moving forward. Because this is an instance where you're excited to have him in the lineup eventually, and eventually we will see Zion with the young Pelicans, who are all there because they were traded for Anthony Davis from the Lakers. Brandon Ingram has turned into a star. He's scoring 25 points a night. Lonzo Ball is probably playing the best stretch of basketball in his career right now. So there are actually reasons to get excited about the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion is going to accelerate all of that when he does come back and play. But there are questions. There are things to consider when he does come back. How do they handle him? Well, Alvin Gentry a couple of days ago at Pelicans practice was asked about Zion Williamson and how they expect to handle the number one pick.
Conditioning is going to be the big thing there, but you know, you don't lose your feel for the game. I mean, he's a really good passer, a willing passer, so all of that stuff is going to be there. And I mean, obviously, just the fact that you know you get yourself conditioning wise in basketball shape, and that's going to be a process. That's not going to be something that you can do all the running and everything and that you want to, but you're going to have to actually get out there and play and take the necessary steps to get to that point. But that's not something that's going to happen in the first five games or the next five games or whatever. It's going to be a process to get to, you know, to where he wants to get to. I mean, he's eager to be out there, and, you know, all of his teammates is eager for him to be out there. But it is a step-by-step process that we've got to take, you know, so that it's done the right way.
It seemed like it took a little while for you all to maybe find your footing, gel together, find some cohesion and the right pieces in place. Is it a concern that it'll take him a little bit of time to kind of figure out what he does with the other players on the roster and such?
Well, you know, I think that's always a possibility, but I think, you know, who he is and the way he plays, it's not going to be like starting completely new again. It's going to take a while for it to, you know, for everything to come together. You know, it'd take a while anyway. It doesn't matter who it is. But I think because of his basketball knowledge, and the IQ that he has, I think we can skip some of the steps, and I think he'll be okay.
So there you go. That's New Orleans Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry a day ago talking about Zion Williamson after Pelicans practice. And again, Zion is back practicing with the team. He's getting a few more days in, a few more workouts in. He looks good. There's videos surfacing on Twitter of him throwing down some big dunks. There was a standing between the legs dunk that he pulled off, and everybody's getting excited with the eyeball emoji. Everyone's fired up to see Zion Williamson eventually make his debut with the New Orleans Pelicans here. But, I mean, have the Pelicans done enough to really make sure that Zion is ready to go? I mean, there's no way to know if there's going to be issues down the road. There really isn't. And am I confident that Zion can stay healthy from the time he does return to the end of the season? Now, we are under the understanding that there's going to be a strict minutes restriction to start. He's likely not going to play back-to-backs. And I know there's some old-school types out there who will hear that and go, oh, well, how can you do that? It's load management. He's 20 years old, 21 years old. He can certainly handle it, blah, 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 all this stuff. But I also think back to other number one picks throughout history. And again, this is another conversation entirely, but you look at the list of number one picks who have actually won championships in the last 18 years. It's LeBron James. It's Kyrie Irving, who won a championship with LeBron James, and then maybe Anthony Davis down the line with LeBron James. That's it. That's it. It doesn't necessarily mean that Zion's going to come in and, you know, turn this franchise around to a point where they're reaching heights that they couldn't reach with Anthony Davis. Zion Williamson is going to have all the pressure on him going into this season. There is no doubt about that. The worry is, and there is a precedent here with past top picks in the draft, have they done enough to make sure that Zion's going to be in a position where he's going to be healthy? Healthy long-term. It's going to be great to see him. It's going to be great to see his highlights popping up on social media, on YouTube, whatever the case may be. But have the Pelicans done enough? They've said the right things, but let's say that New Orleans turns it around thanks to Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and really they played their best basketball as of late and had that big win over the Nuggets on Christmas Day, and that spearheaded a winning streak. They've got ups and downs, and the Western Conference is tough, but maybe Zion comes in and really turns things. He looked great in the preseason. He really did. Explosive, can score, doesn't necessarily need the ball all the time. He can move off the ball. You heard Alvin Gentry there talking about his basketball IQ. That's not a joke. He's good. He's got all these things. But you think back to Ben Simmons, sat out a year, foot injury. Joel Embiid, we had to wait 2 years for Joel Embiid to step onto a court in Philadelphia. And I know Joel Embiid wasn't a number one overall pick. He was number three, but again, he was talented enough to be the number one pick in that draft. Now that we know a little bit more about Andrew Wiggins and the like, but 2 years for Embiid, 1 year for Simmons. And now the Sixers are in a position where they can at least challenge the Milwaukee Bucks. Trust the process, right? That's what the Sixers were after. And you think back to that, and you think back to what the Sixers did, convincing their fans that, hey, we're going to stink for three solid years, but it's going to bring a high draft pick and high draft picks, and we're going to turn it around. That's eventually what they did. It eventually came together. But also remember this. In the first year that Joel Embiid stepped on an NBA floor, 3 years into his career, only played 31 games. 31. So what is a reasonable expectation for Zion Williamson? Will we see him play 20 games the rest of the season? I looked at New Orleans' schedule. They don't have a back-to-back, really, from now till the end of the season. That's it. It is possible that Zion's going to be in a situation where he'll be able to rest his body. He'll be able to get that rest, and the Pelicans will still be able to use his talents to win ball games and maybe inch closer to a playoff spot. Maybe inch into that top eight in the West if Zion is the game changer that we make him out to be. And it's pretty clear, too, that Alvin Gentry, you know, has said that Zion's not going to lose his feel for the game. There's no way that there should be a long adjustment period for him. We saw him play in the preseason. We saw it. I know it's the preseason. It's a little bit different, but this is why Zion is unique. This is why he is the future of the league, or at least represents the future of the NBA. The ultimate stretch forward, and maybe even a stretch five in small lineups. He brings things to a floor that we haven't seen at that size. Because that's the other thing. His body, he's so big, he's so explosive and so powerful that I don't even know that he can control his body sometimes. And we'll be handling him much differently than we've been handling other players in the past. Blake Griffin was kind of like that when he came out of college at Oklahoma. You remember how explosive he was. Everybody was excited about Blake, and then he hurts his knee his rookie year, sits out a season, comes back, wins rookie of the year, and he's Blake Griffin for a few years. And the Clippers, with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, they go to the playoffs. They didn't have a lot of success in those playoffs, but the fact was they got there. The Lob City years, right? Everybody enjoyed that time with the Clippers. But then after that, they trade Blake, and now Blake is sitting down again. He recently had knee surgery. And he's had injuries and surgeries over the latter half of his career, and he's certainly slowed down, and he's nowhere near as explosive as he used to be. So there's a lot to consider with Zion. Is it worth running him out there as often as they can to try to sneak into a top eight playoff spot in the Western Conference when you know that you're going to get the Clippers or the Lakers in the opening round of the playoffs? You know you're going to get rolled. But at the same time, you've got a fan base that lived through the end of the Anthony Davis era. You've got a fan base very excited to see Zion Williamson, to see what he can bring to the table. So there's going to be pressure from the fan base, even though we're a little bit smarter now with the way teams manage athletes. I mean, we expect guys to play every night, but we also understand that if Zion is not quite ready to go, well, you know, hey, we can live with that. But again, you look at the schedule from now towards the end of the year, the Pelicans have a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday. They're at the Knicks. They're at Boston. They're at Detroit on the 13th. 16th, they're home to Utah. The 18th, that is not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, they face the Clippers at home. It's an afternoon game, you know, the day of the conference championships in the NFL. What if that's the game where Zion comes back? What if that's the one? What if he goes up against Paul George? What if he goes up against Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley? The Pelicans are put on national TV in the States 30 times this season. You know why? It's for Zion. And after that, like I said, where's the back-to-back in the Pelican schedule? There isn't one. Between now and the end of March, there isn't one. There is a day off between games, at least, for the Pelicans all the way through the rest of the season. So they don't have to worry about playing him or not playing him back-to-backs. Don't have to worry about it. They're good. They're good there. And we're good there as fans. But you hope he's going to be all right. You hope his body's going to hold up. Joel Embiid, we talked about it a year and a half into his career. We weren't sure if Embiid could stay on the floor, but the Sixers had to go out there and pay him anyway. Gave him $148 million with a small body of work. But they trusted that process, and now Joel Embiid is at least saying he wants to be an MVP, and he's a big part of the reason why the Sixers are where they are. That's where the Pelicans want to get to. And the Sixers were careful with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. The Clippers, the Lob City Clippers, were careful with Blake Griffin. That's where the Pelicans want to be with Zion. That's where they want to get to, because they've got a young star who they have to pay this offseason in Brandon Ingram. Again, he's upped his game 25 points a night, coming over from the Lakers in the Davis deal. Lonzo Ball, also in that same trade, has played his best basketball as of late. Maybe the Pelicans have something there. The veteran presence in J.J. Redick and others. Derek Favors, too. That's another body they were excited about when David Griffin made all those moves. And now you add Zion to the mix, but you have to add him carefully. And will it be enough to inch the Pelicans towards the bottom half of the playoff race? I don't think so, but at least we'll have more fun watching the Pelicans because they're on national TV an awful lot. All right, so we go from one number one overall pick from the New Orleans Pelicans to another, a former number one overall pick of the New Orleans Pelicans. The big story in the NBA on Tuesday night, and again, we're taping this on a Wednesday afternoon, so if anything big goes down, if anything breaks, I promise you we will get to it next week. Anthony Davis, results of the MRI came out today. It is a bruised gluteus maximus. AD hurt his butt. He fell on his back last night, it looked like, against the Knicks. People were worried it was a tailbone thing. There was one initial term for it, and then the MRI came out today. It's a bruised glute. So he'll be out for a little bit. He's going to miss some time. It's a bit ironic because Dwight Howard played 9 games with the Washington Wizards last year, missed the rest of the season with a glute injury. Whether it's the same in severity, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But a glute's a glute. And that's what Anthony Davis is looking at right now. That's what the Lakers are looking at right now. And I bring up Anthony Davis because I wanted to get into trade season in the NBA, which is essentially underway. It really got started on December the 15th. That's when you can start moving guys that you have just signed contracts to. One of the players on the Lakers roster, a big talking point in terms of trade rumors, is Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma's a guy that is a draft pick of the Lakers. He was a member of their young children core. He was not sent to New Orleans for Anthony Davis, so clearly the organization sees something in Kuzma, or certainly saw something at the time. But the rumors are there that the Lakers are shopping Kuzma because they're looking for another guy who can create a little offense, another guy who can take the ball handling pressure off of LeBron James. Rajon Rondo is supposed to do that, but Rondo is at a point now in his career where he might be a little bit washed up. Rondo has really dropped off here in the last couple of weeks. So the pressure is on for the Lakers to find another ball handler to, again, you know, relieve LeBron a little bit of all the playmaking duties that he has. I mean, LeBron does lead the NBA in assists, and it's pretty impressive for him to do that in year 17 at the age of 35. But now with Anthony Davis hurt for a bit, he's going to miss the game Friday against Dallas. The Lakers will be in Oklahoma City as well this weekend. He's going to miss at least those two games. And then coming up here, at least looking ahead, coming up in 20 days' time, the Lakers will play the Clippers again. You're kind of hoping that Davis will be back for that time. But here's what the Davis injury does for the Lakers, and here's what it does for Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma is a guy coming in here, you know, last year struggled a bit with LeBron James. A lot of those kids, Ball, Ingram, they couldn't quite figure out how to play with LeBron. You could lump Kuzma in there as well. He's a guy that has shown in his first couple of years he's capable of getting 20 points. You may have seen him on Christmas Day against the Clippers. He heated up pretty quick, had 15 quick points in the first quarter, finished with 25 in a loss to their crosstown rivals. So Kuzma is capable of scoring. But right now is the talk of trade rumors as the Lakers look to find another body. He is being at least linked to the Sacramento Kings and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic is a guy, a guard who can score. He can give you 25 points. I don't know how much he can give you defensively. I think the Lakers might be sacrificing something there. Bogdanovic is also in the final year of his contract. He's making $8 million right now. He's in for a good payday when you consider that the summer class isn't that strong. And I know Anthony Davis has opted out of his current deal, or at least did not sign the extension. The Lakers offered him a couple of days ago. They offered him 146 over four. But really, he's just holding out and waiting so he can sign for 202 this summer. And all reports indicate he would not leave the Lakers. I don't think he would. It would surprise me if it did happen. I know our minds are quick to go to Kawhi Leonard, and every time we hear that somebody's opting out, oh, it means they're leaving. Means they're leaving. Usually when that happens, though, everything is kind of set in stone. The rumors are all there. We knew Kevin Durant was going to leave the Golden State Warriors last year. We knew it was happening. We just didn't know where he was going to go. We figured that Kawhi Leonard was going to leave. And then he won a championship, and we thought, well, you know, maybe he'd stay. Why would he leave this? He left anyway. I don't think that Anthony Davis is going to leave, but in this little short term for the Lakers here, and Kyle Kuzma, Kuzma's had to adjust to being a real third banana on a title-contending team, whereas the previous couple of years, even with LeBron James, he was kind of the second and third banana, but he wasn't really expected to be that guy. The Lakers were hopeful to be a playoff team last year, even with LeBron James. They didn't make it. LeBron got hurt. That's when everything went sideways. But this year, with championship expectations, I mean, the Lakers are 30-7 at the time we taped this, and they've got a tough one in Dallas tomorrow night against Luka Doncic, who could be the MVP of the league, by the way, and is right up there in terms of the balloting. They've got a tough one there. But again, 30-7 at the time that we're taping this. Kuzma has to be that third guy. He has to be their third scorer. You can't ask Danny Green to do that. You're asking Danny Green to play defense and hit open threes. You're not asking Danny Green to put the ball on the floor. He's not effective that way. Kyle Kuzma can do that, but he has to find his consistency. And I think right now with Anthony Davis out, Kuzma will be able to do that because now he is the solid number two scorer on the team. Like it or not, he's that number two guy. That's who they're going to go to. You're not going to go to Dwight Howard and ask him to post up 10 times a game. You're not going to do that. Again, you're not going to ask Danny Green to put the ball on the floor. You're going to need Kyle Kuzma to put the ball on the floor and use those skills that he's developed the last two or three years as a 27th overall pick in the first round to give you 20 a night in the absence of Anthony Davis. Now, again, Davis is out for a couple of games here. Hopefully it's just a couple, but that's what the initial reports are. He's going to sit out the first couple here on this road trip for the Lakers. Not going to play against Dallas. Not going to play against OKC. It is a glute bruise. He bruised his ass. Okay, we can say that. So hopefully he's not up for too long. But this is the golden opportunity that Kyle Kuzma has been looking for. Because now he doesn't have to worry about fitting in and being a third banana. Doesn't have to. Now he can be the second guy. LeBron James can look for him. He can get those good looks from LeBron James, that second guy. But it is going to take time for Kuzma to grow into that third banana role. He's certainly capable, but when you're the third guy, you have to prepare differently. You just do. Some guys aren't made for that. There's a reason that Glenn Rice was always a clunky fit with Kobe and Shaq, even though they did win that title back in 2000 together. And it took Chris Bosh lots of time to figure out how to ride with LeBron and D-Wade in Miami. Chris Bosh was the number one guy in Toronto. Got all the touches. All the accolades. All the credit. Had to sacrifice a lot of shots. Klay Thompson had to sacrifice a ton of shots when Kevin Durant first got there. Took them time, but they figured it out. They eventually won a couple of championships. It's not impossible. Hell, even Kevin Love, and we'll get to Kevin Love in a second, I'm sure. He was heavily maligned, third banana in Cleveland for the entire time LeBron was there. And this was a proven guy, a 20-10 guy, who ended up playing a crucial role on that championship team. He figured it out too. That's what the Lakers need Kyle Kuzma to be. They don't have time to bring in Bogdanovich or whoever right now and ask them to step into that role at the drop of a hat. Kyle Kuzma's been around long enough. He understands the stakes. He understands that he's got 2 years left in his deal after this. $1.9 million comes in very cheap, but it also means that if you're going to move Kuzma in a trade, you also have to move out some dead weight to make the salaries match up. Bogdanovich makes $8 million. Great, okay, but Kuz makes $2 million. So maybe you have to add in Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook, who are basically just salary ballast for the Lakers at this point because Cook is in Frank Vogel's doghouse and Troy Daniels rarely plays. We might see Troy Daniels get a bump up in the rotation. I don't think we'll see Quinn Cook. He is in Vogel's doghouse. We won't expect to see him, but we are going to see Kyle Kuzma a lot more. And it's an interesting ride here for him because he's the subject of trade rumors. They need him to be the third banana come playoff time, but for right now, they need him to be the second guy. The second guy. And if the Lakers make a decision on Kuzma, provided that Davis is healthy, I bet it comes after the next game against the Clippers, January 28th. Clippers are 2-0 against the Lakers this season. Maybe Kuzma has a good night against them like he did on Christmas. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe then general manager LeBron James might push the real GM, Rob Pelinka, to make a move. Much like what happened in Bron's final year in Cleveland. They remade that entire team on the fly. They lost in the finals, but it was a pretty exciting 7-game win over the Celtics in the conference finals, and Kobe Altman made those moves. Brought in 4 or 5 new guys. Brought in Larry Nance. Brought in Jordan Clarkson. Brought in a couple others as well. Rodney Hood was a celebrated move at the time. And he kind of fell out of the rotation come the finals, but Rodney Hood was supposed to be a big part of that. Got rid of Isaiah Thomas, the failed back half of the Kyrie Irving trade. And Laker fans are going to continue to hope for an Andre Iguodala miracle, but he makes $17 million. So you can't acquire Iggy without moving out Danny Green just to make the salaries match. And you probably have to throw in something else too. Again, the Quinn Cook, Troy Daniels poo-poo platter, that would be needed to complete an Iguodala deal. If you wanted to move Danny Green, why would you do that? Iguodala hasn't played this season. He's 36 years old. He's got a year left in his deal. Yes, he can still make plays. He can make big defensive plays late in a postseason game. We saw that last year with Golden State, but you're not going to move Danny Green up for that because you know what you have now in Danny Green with the Lakers. The only hope for the Lakers is that Darren Collison picks them if he decides he wants to come back to the NBA. A guy who, in his last stop in Indiana, shot 45% from three. One of the faster players in the NBA. And again, a guy who can make decisions offensively so LeBron James doesn't have to, because I don't know that Rajon Rondo is still good for that. When we come back, we'll check in with Joshua Howe, Raptors Republic, and Sportsnet. Talking Raps, talking Zion Williamson as well. We've got more. It's on the way. Basketball Central, Sportsnet, 650.
Oddshark.net is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Looking for statistics and trends from an upcoming game? Oddshark.net has that too, and it's free.
It's free.
Expert in-depth analysis, stats, numbers, and trends to help you make the sharp game day picks.
Whether you want to get in on the football action,
tonight's baseball game, or anything in between, head over to Oddshark.net and start playing like a shark today. This is not a gambling site.
Basketball Central continues on Sportsnet 650 with your host, Marcus Fitzgerald.
Welcome back. Sportsnet 650, Basketball Central on a Wednesday night. The first Basketball Central of the new decade, of the new year, January 8th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. Anything you've missed on this show? Is it launched in, May 2019? I think that's when it was. Anything that you missed, every show we've ever done, it's on the website, sportsnet.ca/650. Joshua Howe's going to join us from Raptors Republic and Sportsnet in just a moment. Going to talk big picture stuff for the Raptors. Again, we're taping this on a Wednesday afternoon, where the Raptors are, again, as we're taping, playing the Charlotte Hornets, trying to bounce back after a Tuesday night loss to Carmelo Anthony and the Portland Trailblazers. Melo hit the game-winning shot last night with 3 seconds left. The Raptors led for all of 17 seconds in that game, and they lost to the Blazers. But the Raptors have been so banged up, they're essentially throwing a G League team out there most nights, and it doesn't seem to matter. They still seem to find a way to win games, and that's a credit to Nick Nurse. I think right now he is the front-runner for Coach of the Year. Depending on how you feel about Frank Vogel or Doc Rivers in Los Angeles or even Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee as well. But you have to factor in the talent that is available to those three guys. You could also talk about Eric Spoelstra as well in Miami. The Heat have had a hell of a season at 26-10. They add Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo has been fantastic. I think Bam Adebayo could be a MIP candidate. He's been great, and he's one of the best centers now in the NBA. Jimmy Butler's great, but Bam is good too. So, I mean, you could throw Eric Spoelstra in there as well, but certainly Nick Nurse should get some attention at the end of the year for Coach of the Year. The Raptors at the time were taping this, fourth in the East, 24-13, and again playing Charlotte on a Wednesday afternoon. We're going to get into some big picture stuff, though, with Josh Howe about the Raptors, maybe what they try to do at the deadline. We'll talk about Matt Thomas. We'll talk about the connection that the Raptors have to their G League franchise, the Raptors 905 out in Mississauga, Ontario. It's a pretty special thing. They've got guys who they've developed, who they've taken low in drafts. Pascal Siakam, 27th overall. Fred VanVleet, undrafted. Those are two stalwarts for years to come. When you talk about the Raptors roster and where they're going to be going into the summer of 2021, those are going to be the pillars. Those are going to be the guys you look to if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo or some other big name, and there's going to be a lot of them in 2021, where you go, you know what, I could go play there, and I could go play with these guys, and I could win a title with these guys, much like Kawhi Leonard did. And even at that point, guys like VanVleet, Siakam are going to be a year better. Kyle Lowry probably won't be around anymore. Marc Gasol, not there. Serge Ibaka, not there. Those are the two. Norm Powell might still be kicking around. Norm Powell is another one of those Raptors 905 guys. The connection they have between the big club And the G League club is quite something. And it's part of the reason why the Raptors are being kept afloat. O'Shea Brissett, right? Guys you've never really heard of coming in and finding ways to win games for the Raptors, who are still looking at home court in the opening round of the NBA playoffs in what's turned out to be a pretty tough conference. At least the first six teams anyway. Yeah, Milwaukee's kind of running away with things, but the Celtics are right there. The Heat as well, who I mentioned, have been great. The Raptors, the Sixers, the Pacers. There's some good teams in the East. We talk about the Western Conference and the big power duos and all that stuff, but, I mean, the Eastern Conference, you can't sleep on that. And the Raptors are doing whatever they can to, you know, not just position themselves for 2021, but also be competitive for this year. And that makes you wonder, are they going to go out and add anything? Because if you do that, some of the names out there have extra years on their deals. That's part of the appeal of the Raptors going into the summer of 2021. It's basically Siakam and Van Vliet and Norm Powell, and that's pretty much it. Masai Ujiri is going to have a lot of options with this team, not this coming summer, but the next summer. And do you risk hurting that by trading for Kevin Love and his massive contract if you think that Kevin Love could put this Raptors team over the hump once again? Because I do feel like they're one player away, this current group. And it's weird to say that because when you hear that, you think, oh, well, Kawhi Leonard was that one player. And that's probably the case. But they do need that one more guy. They're right there. They'll probably get to the second round, maybe even the conference final. They'll probably win a playoff series. But I'm just not sure they have the horses to defend their championship, outright defend their championship. However, we doubted them coming into the regular season too. And here they are still rolling along at the top of the Eastern Conference. Kyle Lowry, a big reason for that. Siakam as well, Van Vliet, but they've been impressive. So we'll talk to Josh in a few minutes about that. We'll also ask him about Zion Williamson. That's how we started the show tonight. Zion Williamson back at practice, getting more of that work in, getting set, hopefully soon to make his debut. His regular season debut anyway, came in the preseason and looked dynamic. He is an athlete that we haven't really seen before. There's a reason he's getting those LeBron comparisons, but I think he's getting them because he's such a unique talent with a unique size. I mean, 6'7", 285. 285. He doesn't move like he's 285 either. This could be the next big thing in the NBA, and you just hope, that the New Orleans Pelicans have done everything they can to make sure that, you know, they have Zion's health number one, top priority. There's no rushing here. I think Zion has wanted to come back for a little while. We've had Ollie Cosell on this show from New Orleans a few times, and I remember the last time I had him on, it was right before U.S. Thanksgiving, and he said, hell, we might even see him tomorrow. This is on like November the 26th that Ollie Cosell told me that, and now here we are still sitting here January 8th, and we're still waiting for Zion in a regular season game. Hopefully we'll get there. Hopefully the Pelicans will play it safe, though, because you think about what could happen. You think about past number one picks. Ben Simmons sat out a whole year. Joel Embiid went third overall, but he sat out two seasons before he was ready to go. And even in his third year, he only played 31 games. Blake Griffin hurt his knee his first year, came back, won Rookie of the Year, and was Blake Griffin for a few years before now he's kind of slowing down in Detroit. You hope that Zion has a higher ceiling than hopefully all those guys. But you also hope that Zion comes in and has the impact on the league that we all think he can, because the league is better when there's more stars around. And the league has put the Pelicans on national TV in the States about 35 times. There's a reason for that. It's Zion Williamson, and hopefully we can see him back very soon. Joining us on Basketball Central for the I can't recall the number now. It's probably his third or fourth appearance on the show, but he is a friend of the show. He's one of our favorites. He is Joshua Howe of Sportsnet and Raptors Republic. Josh, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year, pal. How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing really well. Happy New Year to you as well.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's a Happy New Year for the New Orleans Pelicans. Alvin Gentry had practice a couple days ago talking about Zion, and that's where we'll start here. It sounds like the number one pick is soon to be ready to go, but I'm having flashbacks, Josh. I think about Blake Griffin. I think about Ben Simmons. I think about Joel Embiid, guys who have had to wait a little longer than they would have liked to have hoped. Do you think the New Orleans Pelicans have done enough here to make sure that Zion is in the best possible situation? Because I'm a little worried for his health. I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it from everything that I've heard. I mean, they clearly are concerned, I think, as most people are, with the fact that, you know, he weighs quite a bit for how explosive he is.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen an athlete that explosive in a long time. Like, I can never stop thinking about when he was in college and made that block on the corner three-pointer, taking off near the rim. It was insane. And so just that much explosion. Everybody remembers the shoe just exploding when he made one quick move and had a bit of an injury there. So that's always been the concern, just how explosive that guy is for his weight. And we've seen other players in the NBA in the past who are extremely explosive, like Derrick Rose, have issues going forward with knees and stuff like that. So it sounds like they've been overly cautious, which is a good thing. Zion apparently has wanted to come back for a while and felt like he could come back for a while, but he's buying into what the Pelicans want to do and has remained out so that he could become, you know, perfectly healthy before coming back. So I think he's in a good place. Obviously, you know, we'll see that he'll probably need some conditioning back on the floor to get back into things and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be good to have him back and exciting. And right now, I think he's probably in the best spot he could possibly get.
Well, the Pels right now are 12-25. They're 14th in the West because the Warriors are the old standby this year at the bottom of the conference. But you look at the eighth spot right now in the West, Josh, and the Spurs are 15-20. I mean, the Pelicans are only five back in the loss column. I know we're into the new year now, but Brandon Ingram has become an all-star, I guess you could say. He's averaging 25 points a night. Lonzo Ball's playing the best ball of his career to this point. If Zion does come back, we know that he's not going to be playing back-to-backs. The Pelicans don't really have any of those after, like, this weekend. Do you see a situation where Zion can turn things enough for the Pels that maybe they could compete for the eighth and final spot in the Western Conference?
Maybe. I doubt it. I thought even before this season that they'd be hovering around that ninth, 10th seed area. It's just really hard for a rookie player to come in and lead a team into the playoffs when that team around him isn't necessarily super good. I mean, I think they're a fine team and they've got some nice pieces. JJ Redick there, obviously. Drew Holiday is a great player. But I don't think they have enough in a pretty loaded West for the most part. That's partly why the records are always so close there in the last few years, is because there's more parity in the league and all those teams are pretty competitive. So I think it'd be really tough for them. I think that hole is a little bit bigger than it might seem that they're in right now. So it'd be pretty tough, I think, for him to come back and lead that team to the playoffs. It'd be an amazing story if he did, but I don't see a rookie doing it.
He is Joshua Howe, Sportsnet and Raptors Republic. He's joining us on a Wednesday afternoon, a Wednesday evening. While we're taping this, the Raptors are in action right now in Charlotte. They're coming off a loss to the Portland Trailblazers, Josh, where Carmelo Anthony, I feel like I have to apologize to Carmelo because I said on the show that it would last about 30 games. He would score 9 points a night and he would kind of fade into the darkness. But that hasn't been the case at all. We'll get to the Raptors in a second. But when you look at Carmelo and you see what he's done, has he surprised you? Did you expect to see any of this?
He has surprised me. I didn't quite think maybe to the same extent as you did, like you just mentioned, but I didn't think he was going to be this good, I guess you could say. I mean, the team is obviously still not doing very well. They're losing a lot of games. They're performing well below expectations. They've had a lot of injuries and stuff like that as well. Dame Lillard looks exhausted from working so hard to keep his team in a lot of these games. But so it's been a nice reprieve in some way to have him come back and handle some of the scoring. And I wasn't sure he was actually going to be able to handle this much of the scoring load, and definitely not at this level of efficiency. So that part's been great. You know, he hasn't been a great defender in the league most of his career, not for the last while, and that wasn't going to change coming in as an older player as well. So, you know, it's not like he's suddenly stepped up on that end and he's just a stalwart defensive guy now, but he can definitely still go in and get buckets, and he's doing it at a pretty good rate. So it's exciting to see that, and I'm happy for him. And it's nice that the Blazers had at least one thing that's going right this season for them.
Yeah, well, they led that game for, what was it, 17 seconds against
a
Raptors team, Josh, that is now basically trotting out a 9-0-5 lineup, and that's what makes this team so fascinating, because they're still right there at the top of the Eastern Conference. Nick Nurse has done just an incredible job. Is there a way to describe what the buy-in has been like around this team, really, for the last couple of months? Because it's been quite something.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see it most in the way that the team plays nearly every night. Everyone describes how hard this team plays, and you can see it when you're just watching on TV, even on the floor, that they're out there busting their butts. A lot of these guys getting opportunities because there's so many injuries. A lot of these guys are, by nature, hustle guys, like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, for example. These are guys that are out there working hard, and clearly there's a buy-in from Nick Nurse. The guys are, you know, into what he's dishing out, and Kyle Lowry is the leader of the team. You know, he was on, obviously, the championship team last year, and is the guy saying, you know, we trust him, we listen to his voice, even sometimes when he wants to do some more, you might say, experimental things and different lineups he wants to throw out there and stuff like that. The team is in on it. They're willing to try and do whatever he says, and a lot of that, I think, comes from the championship pedigree, to be honest. I don't think Nurse could have said these things last year, especially as a rookie head coach. Obviously, the team is different, but in general, he didn't really have any moments like this last season where he was directly calling guys out publicly. So I think it's been, you know, it's nice to see him have that sort of leash, because he can basically say what he wants to now. And he's right a lot of the time. I mean, the response from these guys has been great. You see it there, too. You know, when he's been calling guys out, they've been responding, and even in the game that's on right now as we're recording this, Terrence Davis, who did not play well last night against the Blazers and only played 8 minutes, he's got 13 points through the first half here tonight. So that's been, you know, kind of impressive to see that Nurse has kind of has this magic touch with the team, and it just means that all the guys are buying into what he's selling.
Well, it's certainly a next man up mentality, and it kind of has to be at this point with all the injuries that they've had, but so many guys in the current roster, Josh, I mean, Fred VanVleet, Siakam, Powell, even Nick Nurse as well, all a part of 905 at this point. I mean, we hear more and more about the G League and how important they are to their NBA teams, but it feels like it's a very unique relationship between the Raptors and what they have going on in Mississauga.
Yeah, I'd say it's a really tight relationship. I always feel a strong connection there between the parent club and the 905 every time I go. You know, players, coaches will go down to 905 games when they have time. Guys get sent down there on assignment. It's just a part of the process now. I think it's really part of the larger culture that they've built there. For a long time, you know, stuff like this in the NBA and still in certain places, it was looked at more negatively, at least by players, looked at like a demotion if they got sent down there. Players didn't like that kind of thing. And, you know, it takes a while for even teams to get on board, and players too. Obviously, not every team had a G League affiliate right away. Most of them didn't, and now most of them do. I think the only team that doesn't have one at the current moment is Portland, but every other team has one now, and because there's been teams like the Raptors and the 905 who've been so successful. And I think the Raptors in particular and the 905 have such a strong relationship because of the success they've had with developing players, and obviously they've Masai has managed to pick out some good players low in the draft, and even undrafted players like Fred VanVleet and Terrence Davis. And the 905 have taken those players and given them a platform and, you know, to compete at a competitive level. And, you know, they've just they've really shown out there and then developed into something that's become really honestly incredible. I mean, there's a lot of great stories on the Raptors. And so I think that's really important thing. I mean, Justin Anderson, who just came through and got signed to a 10-day with Brooklyn, he talked about, you know, as a former NBA player coming back and doing some work in the G League. Not a lot of guys would have wanted to do that, but he was particular about coming to the 905 because of the reputation that they've built as an organization that can get guys back into the league and not only be back for a short period of time, but to have actual success and to last there. So it's sort of like an honor now, like a badge to be part of the 905, to be part of the Raptors organization as a whole. And I think it's just part of the culture. So it's been really cool to see how the two things have meshed together.
Well, the rehab thing, or the rehab start, kind of baseball-esque with the 905 is somewhat new, at least based on what I've read. I mean, look, when Kawhi Leonard moved on and this guy named Matt Thomas showed up, I don't quite know who started the cult of Matt Thomas. It might have been Will Lou. It was somebody on Raptors Twitter, Josh, but Can you explain to me why everyone seems to love Matt Thomas at this point?
Yeah, it was either Will Liu or Alex Wong as well.
Yes.
Two guys, they cape very hard for Matt Thomas. There was a synergy tweet, actually, back in July, right around the time where Kawhi Leonard left, and it was a stat about Matt Thomas and said that Matt Thomas is arguably the top jump shooter outside of the NBA, where he posted an effective field goal percentage of 82% on catch-and-shoot jump shots, including 99% when he was left unguarded.
Wow.
And that kind of crazy stat was sort of the, you know, the genesis of, I think, this cult of Matt Thomas that's begun. It also, like I said, happened, you know, in the wake of the Kawhi departure, and I think it was something fun for fans to kind of hold on to. And now it's just sort of a reoccurring thing, and it's kind of like this inside joke that all Raptors fans seem to know about. And Thomas has been great about it. He's kind of enjoyed it. He's been surprised, I think, a little bit by all the attention. But I think he thinks it's all in good fun. So that's exciting. And, you know, to be honest, he's also a legit shooter. I mean, he's shooting over 50% from three this season, not on an insignificant amount of attempts. He's taking more than two shots from deep per game. So, you know, that's a legitimate sample size. So he is a really, really good shooter. And it's just all become sort of folkloric, I guess, if you want to call it that, by this point.
A couple more here with Josh Howe of Sportsnet and Raptors Republic. They said, Josh, they would replace Kawhi Leonard, or at least you would think anyway, they'd replace Kawhi in the aggregate with his numbers. And maybe that's lip service, but OG Anunoby coming off the bench, you've got lineup changes. Nick Nurse is just going with what works at this point. They are still one of the deepest teams, Josh, even when they're so banged up, in a surprisingly competitive Eastern Conference. Is there anyone out there the Raptors can look to add? How long before, you know, they can decide where they want to go with this? Can they be buyers right now? Can they wait till the trade deadline, February 6th? How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, so this is pretty tough. I mean, honestly, it's really hard to say if the Raptors will be buyers or sellers at this point. It's obviously fluid, everything in the NBA is, but it's a problem caused by all the injuries, right? I mean, no one knows the ceiling of the team right now, this version of the team, because they just haven't been together long enough. They haven't had one single game this season where every single player has been available on the roster, not one, which is kind of nuts to think about. And, you know, so they're asking themselves, how good are they? I mean, they don't know. Not only do we not know, you know, analysts and fans and media, they don't know themselves, because they don't have the sample size. They haven't had that time together. So it's difficult to figure out, and then it affects, you know, looking for trades and trying to assess what you need and what you don't need. So, you know, their contract situations also make it difficult. There's only one real certainty here, which is the Raptors' long-term plan, in that they will not jeopardize in any way their cap space for 2021, the summer there, when the mega free agency class hits. They want to be players there. They want to have the cap space. That means they're not going to be looking for guys with big contracts that are locked into long-term deals, you know, at this deadline. So, for example, a guy like Kevin Love, who is going to be on the trade block, probably already is on the trade block, and he's locked into still a few years under a lot of money, and that's not a player that the Raptors will be looking for, even though, you know, some of his skills might be things that the Raptors could use this season, like rebounding and three-point shooting. I don't think the Raptors are that concerned about this season. I don't think they ever were. I think that this is a season they were looking to remain competitive, they were looking to develop young talent like Siakam and OG Anunoby. But I really do think that all eyes are on that 2021 summer, and that's really where they're going to make their big splashy moves and go from there. So I think this season the expectations have been raised, because Siakam started off so well, the team started off so well, and everyone's sort of waiting for those guys to get back and continue to be that good. But we don't really know at this point how good they are. So it makes it really tough when trying to look for what the Raptors actually need and what they don't. But I imagine because of that, it might be kind of a quiet trade deadline for the Raptors.
Josh, thanks so much for doing this, and can't wait to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, that is Joshua Howe, Sportsnet and Raptors Republic, joining us on Basketball Central. And again, the Raptors at the trade deadline, February 6th, it's coming up. We talked about Kyle Kuzma in the last segment. The Lakers, as they try to make a move that puts them in position, the best position anyway, to try to win a championship. The only trade chip they really have to do that is Kyle Kuzma. Talked about what they would sacrifice with his offense, but Kuzma has to find a way to fit in as the third banana. And you wonder how long the Lakers are willing to wait on that. But on the other hand, out east, and Josh just said this, trade deadline stuff for the Raptors, it's like the plan kind of was to develop these players, which they have in spades, and try to stay competitive. The goals that the Raptors have set this season, they've already exceeded them. They really have. The pace they're playing at, 24 wins at the time of this taping, could be 25 by the end of the night. It's been very impressive. So I like what Josh had to say there in terms of the trade deadline. You could do it, but really what the Raptors are trying to think of, and I've said this off the top of the segment as well, what they're really trying to get going here is that groundwork, that foundation for the summer of 2021. I'm not suggesting they're going to lure Giannis Antetokounmpo to Toronto, but you have to have your organization in the right spot to get one of those guys. The Clippers did it. Kawhi Leonard saw it. And granted, he strong-armed the Clippers a little bit, told them, hey, if you get me Paul George, I'll show up. And the Clippers gave up everything to do it because Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the world. If Kawhi can do that, what can Giannis ask? If he asks anything at all. And if that helps the Toronto Raptors. They look good right now, but for Masai Ujiri, maybe it is best to just hold off until 2021 to make a real splash. My thanks again to Joshua of Sportsnet and Raptors Republic. Thanks again to you for tuning in. And by the way, sportsnet.ca/650. That's where you can find all our shows. It is Basketball Central. I'm Marcus Fitzgerald on Sportsnet 650. Have a good night.